All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at Unified Fight League 3, and that goes down on August the 12th, in a very intriguing bantamweight fight as Volodya Izavian takes on Amun Kozma, and great having Amun on the show right now. How's your day going so far, man?
Oh, man, it's going good. It's just been a full day of travel. Left Atlanta, just landed in Arizona maybe about an hour and a half ago, and then got checked in and did a little UFL interview and did all the backdoor stuff that no one likes doing.
Yeah, just getting all the necessary stuff kind of sorted and out of the way.
Yeah, getting ready. Just getting ready to cut this last couple pounds and then get ready for a fight. That's it, really.
And that's sort of the interesting thing because, like, I have interviewed fighters during fight week and stuff like that, but it can definitely be an anomaly. I usually try to, like, set it up a bit more in advance. So I guess in bringing that up, like, how different is the mindset as you're, I guess, just a few days out from the fight as, say, maybe compared to a few weeks out?
Oh, it's completely different. Like, you've a few weeks out, like, the fight isn't close enough for you to kind of feel all the tension and pressure and energy and stuff that you've been preparing for that moment. But now that, like, that moment is here, there's literally only one more fight prior to the fight, and that's making weight. So, like, you've been dialed in on your nutrition, your weight is where it needs to be, you're about to start, you know, cutting out water and things of that nature, so you're a little bit edgy, and your mindset is kind of focused on just that one task at hand versus, like, weeks out, you're like, okay, I still got a couple more things to work out in training and this and this and this. There's a lot of fights you have to, you know, go through weeks out, but being, what is it, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 2-3 days away from the fight is like, that's all that's on your mind. You're like, hey, first fight, cut these couple pounds, and second fight, go perform. So, like, that's the kind of the mindset, is like everything's just zeroed in on that date, you know?
Yeah, for sure, and definitely a lot that I want to, you know, talk about with this fight, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I, you know, didn't at least briefly touch on the last one there, because that seemed like a big one for a couple of different reasons, I would think, just with you rebounding from, like, that lone loss you have so far in your MMA career, and a very impressive, like, sub-1-minute striking-based finish there over Jackson Santa Cruz at that Unified Fight League 1 event in February there. Like, what were your main takeaways from that particular performance?
That was, like, one of the big things is just, like, rebounding, like, the MMA math, as people say, the math ain't mathing, right? It doesn't make sense because you can beat this guy and this guy can beat you. Doesn't mean you can beat them, just with so many different styles and stuff. And I was fortunate for everything from my amateur all the way to my pro career that I didn't take a L. But it's not about what you're doing, what you're doing when you're winning. It's about what you do, you know, when you face adversity, and I took my first loss as a professional, and that first fight for United Fight League was like my rebound, my bounce back to see how I would be after, you know, getting my momentum slowed down for the first time. So it was kind of like a rebound effect. Everybody wanted to see, you know, hey, how are you going to rebound after his first loss? Why is he going to be the same? Is he going to be better? Is he going to be mentally different? So, like, that showing for UFL 1 against Jackson Santa Cruz was simply that. Like, I lost to a very high-level jiu-jitsu black belt, and then my next matchup was against a jiu-jitsu black belt, and I'm more than comfortable with my jiu-jitsu. I'm confident in my jiu-jitsu and my grappling, but if you just look at the fight on paper, it's like, wow, he just took a L to a guy, you know, who's decorated in jiu-jitsu, and then he gets matched up with another guy decorated in jiu-jitsu, and that's why we don't, like, fight fights on paper, because if it was that easy, you could say, like, oh, okay, well, I don't know if that'd be a good matchup, and it turned out to be a really good matchup. He's a really good competitor, just we found a couple holes in his game, and I was able to exploit it by just sticking to the game plan, so.
Yeah, and you kind of talk about learning from the loss. Like, I saw an excerpt from your article that maybe almost seems in line with this a little bit. Like, you were talking about how pro becomes, like, a fair bit different. Like, you used the analogy of, you know, going pro is akin to adding fuel to a fire and building bricks around it to contain it. I would think that even within that pro run that, like, a loss could also like being a special instance of that, just in terms of like that, you know, contained, like focused intensity and kind of that sense of like, okay, what do I learn from this? How do I rebound from this? How do I use this like intense pressure moment to galvanize myself? Is that kind of how you were looking at it?
Yeah, you have to like, it's a very cliche thing to say. It's like, oh, you know, we win and we learn, and like, yeah, it's cool. It's easy to say that, but it's always harder to actually do it. But that was definitely a learning moment for me. There were some things that I was doing in training that fight allowed me to like expose myself. It's like, oh man, I was doing this and I was getting over in these certain areas. Very, very, very tiny technical details that are fixable. So it was like, hey, as soon as that fight was over, it was like, hey, you took the L, now go back to the drawing board and fix these things. And then after I started working on fixing those technical details, it was about sharpening other tools. So it's like, hey, the goal is always progression, regardless if you win or lose. So if you have that mindset, no matter if you win or lose, if the goal is to get better than you were the previous fight, then the loss hurts, but it shouldn't cause like a downward spiral, right? You say, hey, this is what I lost, this is what I did. I like Max Holloway's take on anytime he's taking a loss. He's like, it is what it is. Like, it is what it is, and you got to go back to the drawing board, figure out what you did wrong, and start to fill in those gaps before your next opponent can do that. So,
yeah, a good way to look at it, for sure, man. And it seems like your journey has taken you some cool places, and I mean, very much so this league seems to fit within that. Like, I just, when I saw the initial concept even roll out, or just like the general layout of everything, just talking about like health insurance for the fighters and just a pretty comprehensive effort and really looking out, and obviously the tournament structure always very cool too. I think MMA fans can always enjoy them a good Grand Prix. So like, I guess in saying all that, like, how does it feel to kind of be interwoven into, you know, the fold here with United Fight League? Because it seems like they're doing some great things.
I absolutely love it. Like, hands down, the best promotion I've ever fought for. It just takes a lot of pressure off the fighters. I always tell people, like, there's a lot of things that people don't understand when it comes to fighting, that like everybody just sees the finished product of us in the cage trying to kill each other. But like, there are many things that have to happen before a fight, and because the United Fight League and Harrison Rogers and Frank Mir and Rampage, you have like two sides of the coins where the guys who are help running the league are also have also fought on the highest stage that you could possibly have fought on, and been champions as well. So they know that what the fighters are going through, not just on like the front end. So now they're taking care of things for the fighters that I feel should be standard, but it's not standard. So it just feels good to be part of something that's more than just the fight itself. You know, fighters having life insurance, health insurance, stocks in the companies, sponsorship opportunities, having the ability to have your own sponsors going into the cage. So it's like, it's really a game changer. And then the whole Grand Prix, like tournament style, I love that. Cause like, we know who we're fighting. We know how many fights we're going to get a year. We know, hey, if we move on, like, where the next fight is. There are a lot of things that, questions that you don't have to ask yourself as a fighter. It's like, oh, I fight for this promotion, and then after that fight, now what? Like, when's my next fight? Are they going to hire me back, or do I got to go fight on another local show, or this, or that? Or so it's like, they're doing a lot of great things, and I think it's only a matter of time before, you know, eventually they'll be mentioning the same name as, you know, UFC and Bellator.
Well, even like I was saying before, you were on their inaugural card, like as we're kind of readying for this third event. It seems like the growth has been enormous even in that relatively short period of time. So love to see it.
Yeah, just from February till now, it's been like, you can just see it's like, it's kind of back to the analogy we were talking about. It's like somebody just, they're fueling the fire. They're like, hey, they have the star power. They got the business minds behind it. They got the media machines, and now they're all focused on like building the brand, but not just for show. Like, they're actually doing the work with the fighters, and I think that's why you see it's growing so fast, because the fighters want to promote the league as much as the league wants to promote the fighters. So when everybody's working towards the same goal, you'll get there faster, or everybody's working on growing, you'll grow faster, versus like you know, planting one seed and watering it here and there. It's like you're planting crops, you know. So the growth is happening at an exponential rate.
Yeah, for sure. It's very like long-term minded, and definitely love to see that. But yeah, curious to get some specifics on the preparation here, because I was checking out a couple different aggregators out there, and I saw on Tapology Sarah BJJ was the listed spot, but also on that millions.co profile it was shouting out Rush MMA and ATT as well. Like, where predominantly are you training ahead of this fight?
Okay, so yeah, Tapology has a lot of updating to do. There's a lot of stuff on Tapology. So the gym that I first started at is a Sarah BJJ affiliate, so black belt at that gym. At MAMA, Millersville Academy of Mixed Martial Arts. That's the gym I first started at. Trained there for 7-8 years before I ended up moving to a new city, and then started training at both Rush MMA as well as Miller Martial Arts. So I did start at a Sarah BJJ Academy, and then when I moved, it was like after COVID. Yeah, when COVID happened, I moved, and the gym that I'm currently at is under 20-time UFC vet Cole Miller. He runs a gym, Miller Martial Arts, and him and his best friend his best friend has a gym as well. It's about 20 miles away, so I train at both. So I train at Miller Martial Arts as well as Rush MMA.
Oh, Cole Miller, that's awesome. I feel like I haven't heard that name in a little bit. I remember my buddies used to always pick him in, like, UFC Undisputed. Like, he was the guy they would play.
Yeah, dude, he's an OG, man. He's great, man. Great head coach, great martial artist. He's just not a great fighter. He's a great martial artist. And anytime people say, oh, my God, you're a fighter, I tell people, I'm a martial artist that fights. I'm not a fighter. It's a difference. Like, a martial artist is in this and past when they can, you know, just fight and make money off of it. Fighters fight, you know, when it's time to fight. I'm like, I don't ever stop training. I don't have a 9-to-5 job. I train martial arts full-time year-round. So, you know, like, being around Cole Miller and Bubby Mitchell, as well as my best friend, is also one of my head coaches, Lathan Lawson, definitely allows me to kind of fill gaps and progress at a fast rate. And Cole, being the vet that he is, like, you know, he has 40-something or close to 50 professional fights, and half of them are for the UFC, like 20 are from the UFC. So he's like very well connected. Anytime I'm out of town or another area, he's like, oh, go check this gym out. And so it doesn't hurt to be an ATT affiliate, and then, you know, have Cole Miller as the connecting piece to anytime I go anywhere or need to do anything, helping me out. So
yeah, well, it sounds like you've had a wealth of great training experiences over the years and continue to do so today. But just, it kind of like adds some insight into like a post I saw you had a bit ago. Like, you're talking about like the mentality and like the differences between like a martial artist and a fighter. Like, I saw you had a post talking about how aggressive patience is the name of the game. Like, that almost seems like it's kind of that ethos you're talking about there a bit.
Yes. Like, that's aggressive patience is a concept that I think a lot of people could benefit from. I paid the price early in my martial arts career. Like, it might not have shown as far as taking a loss, but this is what I'm saying as far as, like, there's always something to learn regardless if you win or if you lose. And a lot of people after my first loss, they were like, oh, my God, like, you haven't lost in 6 years, and you went undefeated as an amateur and as a pro and as a this and as that. Like how was it? How was this? I was like, I treated all my wins like they were losses anyway, because as soon as the fight was over, I'm studying the tape to see the things that I did wrong, because I want to fill in the gaps before my next opponent does. So, like, when I took the loss, the assessment of the loss felt just like after the win. So it didn't, like, hurt me mentally or, like, dissuade, like, my confidence level didn't drop and stuff like that. Because we talk about this, like, aggressive patience. It's like, you got to be aggressive, not reckless. And there are a couple fights where I didn't finish as a pro because I went out there and I tasted blood early. I might have rocked a guy, and I just started saying, hey, fuck it, just, we're going to let it fly. I'm hunting for the knockout. And it's like, you are so aggressive, you went from aggressive to reckless. But the Santa Cruz fight was like a really good, the Santa Cruz as well as my Fedosia fight, I fought a high-level kickboxer and won, and I knew the easiest path to victory was to take him down, but you don't just rush in there and go take somebody down. That's what they think you're going to do. So it was like we had this, you know, back and forth stand-up match for a whole 2.5 minutes. He made one mistake, and then 30 seconds later, the fight was over. And then with the Santa Cruz fight was efficiency and, you know, that aggressive patience. Like, hey, be patient. You got 5 minutes. There's no need to rush out there and try to force a knockout or force a takedown or force any of this stuff. And it's like aggressive patience means you're aggressively working. And when the time or the opportunity presents itself, you're already ready or you're already there. People have a misconception of patience. They think patience means sitting back and waiting. And I like to say good things may come to those who wait, but great things come to those who work. So if you're always working, when that opportunity comes, you're already working. So, like, you're ready.
Yeah, and just kind of going off of that idea of great things come to those who work, like, it would seem like this is a great time for you just being in the semifinal portion of this bantamweight tournament. Like, how much of a, I guess, feather in the cap would it be to get your ideal outcome and outright end up winning this tournament? I would think that would be, like, a big thing that would really, I guess, like, put a stamp on your name. Like, people know the skills already, but yeah.
Yeah, that would, that's like the icing on the cake. That's like the icing on the cake, as the sprinkles, making an ice cream cake, like all the stuff that I can't eat right now. Just put it all in one. it would totally cement, it would be a notch on my personal journey as a martial artist, fighter, and a man, as like promises that I've made to myself. And like, it's easy to prove other people wrong. I did a lot of that shit when I was younger, like, you know, people tell you can't do something and you do it. It's like, cool, are you doing this just to tell them you can't do it? That's fucking easy. Proving other people wrong is very easy, right? But proving yourself right takes a lot more. And that's like what, my bad, camera went out. But that's like what I'm more concerned and more interested in and more and have more of my focus behind, is proving myself right, that I knew that this was possible, that if I worked for it, I would get it. And to be so close doesn't mean it's time to waver off and look at the championship fight, because that's not what I'm doing. I need to understand that that might be the goal at the top of the ladder, but if that's what you're focused on, then you're going to miss, you're going to have an opportunity to get fucked up with a guy who wants the same thing that's at the top of the ladder as you. So it will be a feather in the cap, but like, that's not my focus. My focus is, there's a guy who's a very, very good opponent, fucking 11-3, and is ready to go to war in 3 days. And that's going to be a feather in my cap. That's what I'm focused on. Yeah, legacy-wise and my journey as a martial artist and a fighter, that would be good in a perfect world. But we're in fighting. Like, if you want a perfect world, you got to go above and beyond in order to get the results you want. And I go above and beyond every day in practice and training in my everyday life. And my only focus right now is going above and beyond on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it there, just the awareness of the record. Definitely an experienced guy. But I'm curious to get some of the thoughts on, like, maybe some of the tape study you've done in terms of, like, better, like, stylistic attributes he brings to the table, or just, like, what you've seen in maybe dissecting tape on your opponent.
It wasn't just dissecting tape. It was also what, like, me and him both fought on the same card, so I saw him fight live.
Yeah.
So me and my coaches got to see him fight live, and then when we went and analyzed, you know, the footage and stuff like that, like I said, having a 20-time UFC vet and Cole Miller and my team with Lathan Lawson and Bubby Mitchell, it's like, it doesn't hurt at all. It helps a lot. And I trust them to lead me down the path of victory. And they trust me to listen, and also the skill set. And if things aren't going the way that we initially planned, because, like, you can plan for something that you see in tape or in person, but we both had 6 months to prepare for this fight. So it's like, okay, well, what if he comes out stylistically different than you oppose? Then, like, you have to also have the ability to adjust and be creative and aware of things on the fly. But stylistically, he's a European-style kickboxer. Dutch-style kickboxing is really good. He's got heavy hands, and just from the way he strikes, you can tell that he's not afraid to get hit. He's not afraid to throw back. And he's not going to be deterred. I keep telling everybody that's the biggest thing. It's like, he's not going to get hit and then, like, buckle. Like, in this last fight, he was down two rounds. He came out in the third round and started applying pressure, which means he's aware of what's going on from round to round. So it's like, that's a shark, you know? So it's like, it's basically shark week, all right? You got two sharks in there, and it's about who's gonna force the other person to play their game. And like I said, my game is aggressive patience. And the first word being aggressive, second word being patient. And we know I can be disciplined in there. But, you know, if being disciplined isn't working, we can mix it up. We can get a little chaotic. I absolutely don't mind being in the chaos. And my team sometimes has to pull me back because they know that I kind of thrive in there sometimes, like, starting the chaos. They're like, bro, you just started the chaos off the rip. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. So it's like, you know, so it was just like, hey, be patient, be aggressive and patient, and then that will allow me to see the openings that I need. And if, you know, it's not getting done that way, then be chaotic.
So it sounds like, based on even how you're breaking this down, that you're more of a fighter that's like, get out there and be adaptable and kind of see like what presents itself in the fight, versus maybe having like a very like particular like visualization of how the fight ends, I guess.
Yes, a little bit of both. So like, adaptability is going to be number one, but also like, we've been working a whole training camp with a specific game plan. So I tell people the best counter strikers in the world go first. They don't wait. That's what we talk about, waiting, right? The best counter strikers are aggressive counter strikers. Like, you look at people like Izzy, like, he hits you first because he knows you're going to have to throw something back. And then he hits you last. And, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to be aggressive because you know it's going to force the other person to make some sort of action or read. And then it's your job to capitalize on whatever that reaction, action, or read is. And then at times when stuff, the chaos starts to, you know, rise, maybe take a small step back and see, okay, well, what's going on in this chaos? Can I just go in there right now? Can I do it? And that's easier said in the head, but it should be second nature by the time you get to the fight, because you've done it all training camp, you know? So, like, that's kind of the direction we're looking to go. Is like, yes, I am adaptable, adjustable, you know, fighter, but that doesn't mean I'm just gonna sit back and wait for my opponent to do something so I can strike. I'll come out, and, you know, from the bell, we'll start assessing what action needs to be taken.
Yeah, I love the insights, man. It's been great getting to talk to you a bit, but just in being mindful of your time and everything, I'm curious if there's perhaps like a final parting thought you'd like to add as we're sort of wrapping up here, man.
No, I have a saying that I say all the time. I'm normally a little bit more cheery than this, but I'm, you know, prepping to cut weight and stuff like that, so I'm just kind of like in the zone. I'm a little hungry, a little edgy, a little thirsty. It's like 100 degrees out here. but yeah, it's just something that I always say, like, it's a good day to be alive, but an even better day to be great. And that's just simply saying, man, if you woke up today with air in your lungs, then it's a good day to be alive. And if it's a good day to be alive, why not strive for greatness? And then that's all it is. That's kind of a part of my brand, too. My nickname is Moon, and my brand is Lunar Unlimited. And it's like to break the self-imposed limits that we put on ourselves. So, you know, that's about it.
Well, it's an awesome thought to end things off on, man, and I really do appreciate you making time to talk before the fight. It didn't come across to me in any kind of way. You struck me as an insightful and good guy to have on the show, so hopefully the first of a few appearances here, man. But until then, definitely got my eyes locked on August 12th there, and I'm sure a lot of people very excited for Unified Fight League 3. It seems to be the case from what I'm seeing out there, the social media discourse and all. But just in saying all of that, thank you so much for the time, and you have a good rest of your day, and looking forward to peeping the fight too, man.
Likewise, when I get a little bit more food and drink in my system, I promise I'll be a better host.
Well, you enjoy the rest of your day, man. Thank you so much for the time. All the best.
You too. And make sure you let me know where these the interview can be caught at. That way I can help promote you guys on my Instagram as well.
Yeah, I'd super appreciate that, man. I'll definitely keep you in the loop on that. And yeah, thanks so much.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
You too.